before we get into communion, just really quick, there was a verse in the song, a lot of songs that we sing, about the trumpet is going to blast and then Christ is going to descend and come down and get us all. We sing about it all the time. And it got me to thinking about how nice it's going to be when that actually does happen. And I believe it's getting real close. This last week, we had a guy proclaim himself the Messiah. He actually called himself Jesus Christ and said that guy that lived 2,000 years ago was a fraud. And so he said he's the one who raises the dead and causes the blind to see. And we know this is going to happen because God's word tells us in the last times there's going to be many people coming in his name. And we're told not to bother to look for them. But we have all kinds of signs that the end is coming. And that's a good thing for us who believe in the Lord. I just want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen to that. You know, in the last days, good's going to be bad, bad's going to be good, right's going to be wrong. We see it happening all over the place. And Jesus himself told us that when you see these things happen, to look up, for your redemption draws nigh. So I would encourage you all, as I encouraged everyone in Sunday school class this morning, live each day as if God's coming today, as if Jesus is going to come back at noon, anytime now. We're going to move into communion now. And why do we even do this? Why is communion something that the church celebrates? Well, there's a few reasons why, and I just want to briefly go through them, and then we'll partake. We observe communion because, well, God told us to. In 1 Corinthians 11:24, Jesus spoke, he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So it's one of those things, an ordinance that we're supposed to do. We also observe communion because we do it to remember Christ and all that he did for us through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. As we take this, we need to remember who Christ was and what he means to us. Again, out of 1 Corinthians, he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He wants us to remember him. And then we also observe communion to examine ourselves, as Dave was alluding to. We want to take this very seriously. This is a serious ordinance. And if we have unconfessed sin in our life, we maybe want to let the cup and the bread pass by us today. But if you're ready and you don't have that in your life, then by all means, take it. We're a church that believes in open communion, and by that we mean if you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you are welcome to take it, and please do. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup." So as I ramble on for a little bit more here, please start that inward process of looking through yourself and taking an assessment of where you are in Christ. We also observe communion because we proclaim Jesus' death until he comes again. 1 Corinthians 11:26 tells us this. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is a statement of faith for us. We know, and by doing this, we're professing to others that we know Jesus died, he's alive again, and he's coming back for us like he said he was going to. Lastly, we take communion to show our participation in the body of Christ. We're not called to do this sitting in a room by ourselves. We're called to do this as a body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17 say, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. His life becomes our life, and we become members of each other. This is something that we're called to do. And so I would like to invite those who I asked to come up and help, please. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem that week of his passion as the Messiah. He rightly was. And they saw him as that. They proclaimed it as he rode a donkey into town. And then he had that Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. And during that Last Supper, he started this ordinance of communion and told his disciples that this was a new covenant for them, a new covenant in his blood. And we've gone over that already. And so the first thing he did was he took a loaf of bread and he broke it into pieces and he passed it around to them and he told them to eat it. And so that's what we're going to do now. Dave, will you lift up a prayer for the bread?
Lord, we thank you for this bread and what it symbolizes, symbolizing your body that was broken for us, and you've given it to us to receive. And so, Lord, we just thank you for, your willingness to be the sacrifice upon that cross for us, for our sins, to break those chains so that we can be free. Thank you, Lord.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of.
And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's eat.
Thank you, Jesus, for this juice that represents your blood. Just thank you and love you and praise you. Amen.
His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Thank God for that. Let's drink.
All I hope is in you. All I hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world. Let's stand. Jesus, Messiah.
Amen. You may be seated.
We have been blessed over the years to be God's hands and feet in a number of ways. And sometimes that's us actually going like Frank and Ed to help build the school in Haiti, or Brad and Molly, Sue and I in the Philippines. Many of you have been the actual hands and feet, even right here in Loyalton. Sometimes there's an intermediate step, it seems, and we support a number of folks that are more doing the hands and feet, but our support helps them to do that. And this year we added to our mission list a place in Myanmar. Oh, good. My wife nods that I pronounced it right. I still call it Burma. And so many of you don't know much about this place, so we're going to spend a little time today showing you some pictures and talking a little bit about Mother's Bosom Orphanage. So a little background of how we came to become part of this. Last summer, Tim Medcalf, Pam's brother, who goes all over doing translation workshops all over the world, told us about this fellow who has this orphanage. Joshua Nying, I think is how you say his last name, so we're just going to call him Joshua, okay? Joshua has an orphanage. It's kind of an interesting call. He's a pastor, and he married this lady who felt that her call in life was to have an orphanage. So he made that his call, too. Now, how's that to submission to your wives, guys? And he has his orphanage, roughly 20 kids. And we're going to hear more about some of those kids here in a minute. You're going to see some pictures. But they had an issue. And that basically, like a lot of these types of things, funding was an issue, and they would not be able to pay rent, and so they would basically get evicted, and then they'd get another place, and something like the same thing may happen, or perhaps it gets sold. And he had, and Tim got to know him in one of his trips there, and found out that there was a piece of land that was available. If he could buy it, then they wouldn't have to worry about rent and whatnot. And it was where they were at. Well, Tim set about raising some money. But the problem was they really didn't have a place or a means for people to send money, so it got to Joshua. That's where we came into the picture. So we said, yeah, we'll accept the money, and then we'll just act as a funnel and get it to Joshua. And we did. Now, there was kind of a bad news, good news situation that evolved in that the fellow who was going to make them this great deal where they were backed out of the great deal. But some other land, this is the good news part, became available, a little bit bigger place, no buildings at all, though. And so Joshua was able to purchase this land and so that they could construct the orphan. So this is Joshua and his wife. And this is the land when they bought it. Kind of barren, looks like. I mean, lush grass and everything. And so we started this discussion about perhaps we would add them to our mission group, especially as we had a couple going off of it. And so I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about this. And I've got to know Joshua pretty well through good old Messenger. And we talk about at least once a week and sometimes three or four times a day. And so part of what I'm going to be doing is reading a little bit of what he shared with me. Thank you so much for praying for us and helping as well. If we would have the cash, I'm reading exactly as he writes it, okay? You can figure this out. If we would cash the money down for the land that have been okay with the landowner, we will need $2,000 to be making a tent and landfill and digging water and digging toilet and flat solar generator and transportation fees and so on. Even now, if we say we are not allowed to rent next rent fees by the landlady, she's going to sell her own house where we stay. So that was up at the end of February, and I'm not sure exactly what the status is right now. But they have the land, and they have started doing some things like having bricks brought in, and you'll see their use here in just a minute. You'll note the forklift. Yeah, as I look at this, I start really recognizing how blessed we are to have the tools that we have to work with. And I apologize, these pictures aren't maybe as big as we'd like to see them, you could see them, but these are what I got via Messenger for the most part. And in this case, they're starting to move the bricks. They're going to be building some kind of post that they can then put, for all intents and purposes, a picket fence on, and also they'll be using it to line the latrine with. You'll note the digging tool in this young man's hand. Nice, stout piece of bamboo. And here they've got one of the posts up or pillars, and they're starting to get the fence up. Somebody gave them a nice umbrella so they can have at least a little respite from the sun, and the kids are out there working. They're getting the fence up. They're pretty excited because they're also getting some gardens in. There'll be food even. Here they're starting to dig the latrine. Again, note that the digging tools are not exactly what we would prefer. And getting it out with a little, the soil out with a little bucket. You see they're lining the latrine with the bricks and fence going in. I'm please taking a red. You can see this fellow, Ed, this saw looks like the one we tried to cut lumber with in the Philippines. These are the poles getting ready for the tent and, again, starting to get the uprights and cross pieces. And again, these cross pieces are lashed into place. So you see a lot of intensive labor that probably would not meet even Sierra County's building code. You can see in the background of this picture a neighboring house, but you can also see a group of cows going by. And this is part of the reason for the fence, because they do come through and trample things. You can see them a little clearer there. And this one to me looked just flat ornery. At any rate, you get an idea of what we're supporting. This group right here is the kids and some people that have been helping out. You might recognize Tim right there in the middle of the bunch. He was there at the end of February and is going back here in a couple of weeks, actually. Now, I've gotten some different pictures of the kids, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want you to get a sense of the kids. These are our orphans. Well, I'm going to read you a couple of testimonies, and I think I have the picture matched up with this gal, but I might be wrong. I think this, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. H-N-U is her first name. No? Who knew? I don't know. H-T-A-N is her last name. Praise God. My name is Miss. Yeah. I was born 2nd January, 1998. I stay at Hinka Village, Kent Cock Township. Now I am 19 years old. My parents are Ulahom and Da, whatever. I have two siblings. My parents passed away since early in my life. I was introduced to this orphanage by a gospel team. I am attending government school in grade 11. However, I am now under medical treatment due to being infected by tuberculosis. I will reattend government school when I recover from my sickness. My ambition is to become a nurse. This young man, to God be the glory. My name is Mr. John Ong Fang. I was born 15 October 1995. Now I am 23 years old. I am corresponding at Dagon University, majoring in history. My native place is the Mung Kong Village. I have three siblings. My parents died of malaria. From that time onward, we were in depth of difficulties for making life. Therefore, I was sent to this orphanage by a minister. Now I feel so blessed to continue my education here at the orphanage, and my goal is to be a successful businessman in order that I would be able to support the needy people as of me. Praise God, my name is Miss Gracie Hunang, attending in grade 10. I have five siblings. I am the youngest daughter. My father died due to earth slides. 2 years ago, my mother also died of gastric disease. I was sent to this orphanage at the age of 9 because my elder brothers and sisters could not support me. Now I am happily attending school. We need to get this gal here. My hobby is doing washing. And my ambition is to be a mighty woman of God in the ministry. I am Miss Mercy Ha, we'll leave it at that, and was born in the Mashi Ya village. I was born in July 5th, 2006. I am now 12 years of age and attending school in grade 7. My parents are, and I have two siblings. My father remarried to another woman. I was sent to this orphanage. My hobby is cleaning. And my ambition is to be founder of nursery school at my native place. This is Ruth, 10 years of age. My native place is Ampon Village. My father was killed in an accident. My mother died of a genealogical disease. I am the only daughter and stayed with my grandfather and grandmother. I was sent to this orphanage by them. Now I am happily attending the government school in grade 6. My favorite scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. My ambition is to be a teacher. I've got a whole bunch of their little testimonies up here if anybody wants to see them. Joshua, a pastor as well, and like I said, we've been corresponding quite a little bit. We met the land of owner, and we bought a land because of your help and God's favor. I and all of the children have unspeakable thanks to you that we have been blessed a great blessing through you and the land that we have prayed for many years. We are always praying for Community Church of Loyalton. May God bless your every path of your feet. Dear Brother Bill, today we start working in the farm with some of the children. They are very happy. They are hardworking and smiling. And it goes on. One other thing, and I'll share these with anybody if you want to see them. But one of the things that really touched me was part of this is also making this, having a church as well to do outreach. And he says, I haven't fit up of the name of the church yet. And if you will allow me to do it, I would like to run by the name of Community Church of Yangon, in reference to honor to us. So it's an exciting ministry to see hands and feet happening there. And we have done far less than he gives us credit for. We had quite a little bit of money come in that we just funneled directly to them. You know, it's a little bit different being trying to send money to different places in the world. We've experienced not just with Myanmar, but with other places that missionaries we support. Mail doesn't always get there. And if it gets there, you don't always, checks aren't always accepted by a bank. And trying to go Western Union, MoneyGram, Zoom, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And so we've been actually blessed. When Sue and I were at Missions Conference in Missouri, we got to visit with a fella who has a ministry in Thailand where he also does outreach to into Cambodia, Myanmar, Laos, India, Vietnam. And I just ask him kind of out of the blue, what's an easy way, or do you know an easy way to get money into these places? And he just says, oh, yeah, that's easy. Oh, pray tell. Yes, it's deposited in my U.S. bank account. Let me know you deposited it, and I'll get the money to him in a day or so. Oh, and I'll tell you next week if that worked or not. We think it did, but Joshua was supposed to go to the bank Monday and see if it's there, and if it is, gee, it works. So, and he's going to let me know. So that has become or taken a load off of us in trying to figure out how to do that. And so we've been blessed to be helping some hands and feet that are helping orphans, that are establishing a church to spread the gospel in that area. So, we are part of that, and I'm kind of excited about it. Joshua, his wife, his two kids, and then the rest of the, I think it's missing one of the kids, but that's pretty much the church. Now, so that's one of the works that we've kind of expanded to, and then I want to share another one that's a little bit more of, you know, you might call this, Scripture says to go out to Jerusalem and Samaria and so this maybe is one of the far out ones, but more in our Jerusalem, if you will. Oh, I should back up. Let me talk a minute about Joshua for, again, a minute. He says, the day before yesterday, my motorbike collided with the car and my left hand fingers, two of them were broken. Please keep praying for me. And when he went to the doctor, they told him they were going to have to surgically repair his hand, which would be way out of reach financial for him. So he came home and prayed. He asked us to pray, and we did. And when he went back to the doctor, they took x-rays again, and the answer was, oh, you don't need surgery. Doctor really couldn't explain that. I can. There is power in prayer. But you can see he's a little banged up. And somebody asked me how the bike was, and I don't have an answer for that. I keep forgetting to ask him if that is. I'll try to do that. Back to our Jerusalem, if you will. A number of years ago, when the church in Beck were started, they needed a sponsor. And so they asked us to sponsor them, and we did. And we got spoiled by that experience because basically they were up and running and had everything going, and they just needed an official sponsor. We said, yeah, we can do that. And that pretty much is the sum of what we did. But we can check off. Yeah, we sponsored that church and they're up and going. We were asked here last fall if we would consider sponsoring a new work in Quincy. And the fellow who started this, we know pretty well, or some of us do, Dan Hanna is, and that's Dan and his wife. That's an older picture, the only one I could find. He doesn't have a mustache now. Those of you that might have been here when we hosted that evening of the Vision Tour a couple years ago now, Dan was one of the people who spoke. He is pastoring the church in Chester. But Dan has been doing some other things along the way. And he lives in the Quincy area, so he commutes to Chester a few days a week to pastor that church. But he also has a jail ministry. And he goes into the Plumas County Jail in Quincy once a week. He's been doing this for almost 3 years now. And in that time, there have been 119 confessions of Christ in that. That's pretty impressive. He also started up a Celebrate Recovery thing on Tuesday nights where people that have addictions, whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever, they come to basically a church service, and he helps them, and they have a meal. And so about a little less than a year ago, Dan just felt called to start up a Sunday night church. Actually, Bible study was what it started out to be. And he started having a few other people show up besides the Celebrate Recovery ones and whatnot. And he decided that, well, maybe we should make this Bible study a church. And so Ascent Christian Ministry started. And that is kind of how we got involved. We were asked if we would be the official sponsor. Based on the amount of work that we had to do with the last sponsorship, we said, sure. Well, it's been a little more work, but again, it is facilitating God's hand and feet. And that's where we're doing. First of all, they meet Sunday nights right now in the Assembly of God Church. The pastor there allows them to do that. They have set up to rent another building that the owner is kind of excited to have them rent. Some of you may know this building as you're coming in and you're coming to Quincy, kind of across, I think, from what used to be Holiday Market. There was a stone building, that restaurant, and that's where the church is going to be. They have to do some work in there to get it ready for that. But in fact, the owner says, we'll be my fiance and I will be the first ones married in your new church. So that's kind of a neat deal. So we're helping with that. Basically, our sponsorship involves some guidance, some suggestions, some oversight. We're doing, I'm going to call it financial services, which sounds a lot better than saying, yeah, Sharon's writing two or three checks a month out of their account, not out of our account. They really don't have someone to do that right now. And we are partnering with them and seeking some sponsorship from the North American Mission Board, which is part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that they have some funding that is specifically for church startups. There's some hoops to jump through, and we're helping them do that. And we also are going to get a, as we're the sponsoring church, in the eyes of many then, this is an outreach of ours. And so we're able to get a rider on our insurance to help them get started. And so I just want you aware that we're part of that ministry as well. Dan and I talk at least once a week. And so wanted you to know about how you are actually involved even more in spreading God's gospel both here and abroad. You know, that's, and if any of you have questions about either of these during the fellowship time, please ask. Be glad to have a little discussion with you. I want to do one other thing before we break. And hey, Annie, Craig, first of all, we do these fellowship Sundays once a month, and we enjoy that time. But I just want to give some due credit, because there's a lot of work goes into setting this up and to get the main dish, and there's the two right there who do that. And so honor them, please. And we thank you for your service there. Thank you very much. Father, we are so privileged here in so many ways, and you bless us so richly. And Father, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to share that wealth, and whether it be with expertise or funding or just logistics. Thank you for opening doors. Father, I think of Mother's Bosom Orphanage, and I think of each of those kids, Father, and how precious they are. I pray for provision for the orphanage. I pray for leadership and guidance with the kids. I pray for their schooling. And Father, so many of them in their testimonies saying that their ambition is to serve you in one manner or another. And so, Father, we just pray that you might be continuing to inspire them and blessing them and using them. And we thank you for them. I thank you for Joshua and his wife and their vision. I thank you for Tim and his work with them and his generosity towards them. I ask your blessings on both Joshua and his wife and Tim. Father, that, and I ask them specifically for provision for them as they continue to build and to influence the community around them. Father, I pray for Joshua's hand too, thanking you that for the healing that has taken place there. And Father, I ask that you continue that healing as well. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to be part of Ascent Ministry too. And I pray for the building that you've provided now for them, and that the work to be done might, the provision for that and the workers for that would be there. And I pray, Father, that you would be continuing to guide Luke and Dan as they pass through the church. Thanking you again, Father, that you just honor us by allowing us to be part of it. Father, we pray for your guidance too here as we look at this ministry. Now, Father, as we prepare for a time of fellowship, we ask you to bless Annie and Craig for all the work they do with these meals. And also, Father, for all those that have provided as well. And Father, we just ask your blessing on this time of fellowship and your blessing on the meal. And we lift all of this up in Jesus' name. Amen.